Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Zamira, for reaching out to me, inviting me here today to speak and address this audience. And thank you to the OU Center for all the teaching, the education, the programming, strengthening our Jewish community. I have a very special honor and privilege today that the schedules worked out, and my dear wife is here as well, Laura. Thank you, Laura, for being here and all that you do. Okay. Just a reminder, Chevra, if you can, keep the cell phones off, minds and hearts on and open. We'll take all questions and comments at the end. We have less than an hour to get through a lot of material, Be'ezras Hashem. So, toward the end of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of telling the story about our exodus from Egypt, we have a popular paragraph which we sing to a popular tune. And that paragraph begins with the words, Kama ma'alos tovos la'makom aleinu. How many favors do we owe thanks to the ever-present, referring to Hashem. And then this paragraph goes on to list 15 favors that Hashem had performed for us. And by now, you probably guessed that we are talking about the paragraph which is affectionately referred to as the... You got it, the Dayenu paragraph. So let us mention those 15 favors that Hashem performed for us and which are listed in that paragraph. Here we go. Number one, Hotzionu miMitzrayim. He, God, brought us out of Egypt. Number two, Asabahem Shvatim. He executed judgments upon them. Number three, Asabelohehem. He destroyed their gods. Number four, Harages Bechorehem. He had slain their firstborn. Number five, Nasanlanu Es Mamonam. He gave us their wealth. Number six, Karalanu Es Hayam. He divided the sea. Number seven, Evirenu Besecha Becharava. He led us through it on dry land. Number eight, Shika Tzareinu Besocho. He drowned our oppressors in it. Number nine, Sipek Tzorcheinu Bamidbar Arbayim Shana. That's the one you have to get in one breath. He provided for our needs in the wilderness for 40 years. Number 10, Echilanu Es Haman. He fed us the manna. 11, Nasalanu Es HaShabbos. He gave us a Sabbath. Number 12, Kirvanu Levein Har Sinai. He brought us before Mount Sinai. Number 13, Nasalanu Es HaTorah. He gave us the Torah. 14, Hichnisanu LeEretz Yisrael. He led us into the land of Israel. And finally, number 15, Banalanu Es Beis HaBechira. He built a temple for us. Comes along the Jikava Rebbe. You got to love these names that the towns were called back in the old country. The Jikover DJ, Jikover Rebbe. Who was the Jikover Rebbe? Rabbi Meir Horowitz. It's a place in Poland. He lived from 1819 to 1877. In his Sefer, in his book called Imre Noam, he says, according to the fact that we have 15 favors listed in this paragraph, Dayenu, therefore our sages of blessed memory, who wrote the Passover Haggadah, I'll pause there for a moment. Does anyone know who wrote the Passover Haggadah? That's a good question. Huh? Yes, so there are those that say, many say, as you just pointed out, that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the men of the Great Assembly, were responsible for putting the Passover Haggadah together. However, excellent, excellent point. And therefore, there are those who maintain Anshei Knesset HaGadolah will admit that there were some paragraphs that maybe were added later on over the years. There are found in Hasidic sources. There's another school of thought that maintains that not the authors, but the author of the Passover Haggadah is none other than the one who visits us every Leil HaSeder, none other than Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, and they can both be right. Maybe Eliyahu together with the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. But anyway, getting back, says the Jikava Rebbe that now that we have these 15 favors enumerated in the Dayenu paragraph, therefore the sages, whomever they are, who put the Passover Haggadah together, they decided to have in the Passover Haggadah 15 simanim. You could call them signs, or maybe better yet, stages of Leil HaSeder, because the 15 stages of Passover night correspond to the 15 favors that God had performed for us. You might be wondering, what 15 simanim, what are the 15 signs, what are the 15 stages? Well, this happens at the very beginning of a Passover Seder. We're standing around, or we're sitting around, and we all love to sing that song, Kadesh or Chatz. Let's go through. What are those 15? Many people count, they argue, no, there are only 14. Let's count this together. Number one, Kadesh, recite the Kiddush over the feast day. Number two, or Chatz, wash hands in preparation for number three, Karpas, eating a vegetable dipped in salt water. Number four, yachatz, break the middle matzah, the smaller half serving as the bread of affliction, over which we recite number five, the Magid, that is the Haggadah, that is the story. Number six, Rachza, wash hands in preparation for number seven, Motzi, the customary blessing over bread, in this case over the matzah. And number eight is matzah, a special blessing over the matzah, and then we eat the matzah. In other words, motzi and matzah are two separate stages, not one stage. Number nine, maror, a special blessing is said over the maror, which is eaten after it is dipped into the charoses, yum yum. Number 10, korech, a combination of matzah and maror is eaten. Number 11, my favorite stage, Shulchan Oreich, eat the festive meal, ending with number 12, Tzafun, eating the afikoman. By the way, what did the teddy bear say when he was offered the afikoman? No thanks, I'm stuffed. That's how I feel very often at the afikoman stage. In any case, that was 12. Number 13, Boreich, which is Birchas HaMazon, the blessing after the meal. Number 14 is Hallel. These are psalms and praises and declarations that our faith in Hashem are recited. And finally, stage 15, Nirtzah, the Seder is complete with our prayers that our service be accepted by Hashem and that Mashiach come speedily. Again, says the Imre Noam, the Jacob Rebbe, he repeats that these 15 simanim, these 15 stages of Passover night correspond to the 15 favors listed in the Dayenu paragraph. At this point, there is another set or two of 15 worth mentioning. Comes along the Maharal in his Sefer Gevuros Hashem, chapter 59, and he says that these 15 favors mentioned in the Dayenu correspond to something else also. They correspond to the 15 stairs which existed in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple, stretching from the Ezras Nashim, the women's courtyard, going up to the Ezras Yisrael, the men's courtyard, and the source which tells us that indeed there were 15 stairs in the Beis HaMikdash is found in a Mishnah in Meseches Midos. It's in chapter 2, Mishnah 5. By the way, you know the name of that chapter, chapter 2? It's called Har HaBayit. Very interesting. In any case, what does the Mishnah say there? Chamesh Esrei Ma'alos Olos Mitocha. There were 15 stairs that ascended from it, from the Ezras Nashim, the women's courtyard, Le'ezras Yisrael, to the men's courtyard. That's another 15. But the Mishnah goes on to say, Kineged, those 15 stairs correspond to Chamesh Esrei Ma'alos Shebetehillim. They correspond to the 15 songs of ascent that are mentioned in the book of Psalms. We call them the Shir HaMa'aloses. And if you look in the book of Psalms, from chapter 120 to chapter 134, including chapter 120 and including chapter 134, you will find 15 songs of ascent. Says the Mishnah, Sha'alehem Halevi'im Omrim Bashir. The Levites would stand on those 15 stairs in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would sing these 15 songs of ascent, and they did it in the following way. They stood on the first step, and they sang the first song, Shir HaMa'alos. They would ascend to the second step, and sing the second song, and so on and so forth. Chevra, Huh? I guess as many as could. I don't know exactly. I don't know. It's a good question. What happens if there are tons and tons of Levium? I don't know how that worked out. But yes, go ahead. Oh, that's a good, I don't know. That's another good question. It's the only one that begins with a Lamed. The others begin with a Hey. What's that? Oh, yes. The question was, why does the second Song of Ascent say Shir La Ma'alos with a Lamed before the word Ma'alos, as opposed to the others Shir Ha Ma'alos with a Hey? That's a very good question. I haven't found an answer yet. If you hear anything, please let me know. There was another question on the floor, and that was, what if there are lots of different Levites, and maybe there are, who knows how many there were, would they all be able to fit on one step? I don't know. Was there a miracle that happened where many people were able to fit into a small place, like often occurred in the temple? That's also a good thought, well worth contemplating. In any case, we have enough information at this point to ask ourselves two questions. Question number one, what is the deeper meaning behind the 15 favors that Hashem did for us from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from the Exodus from Egypt, which is the first favor mentioned, to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, building of the temple, which is the 15th favor? Question number two is, what is the deeper connection between these 15 favors that Hashem did for us to Passover night? Some of them connect to Passover night, but many of the events listed there are not necessarily connected to Passover night. What is the deeper connection between all 15 stages, all 15 favors to Leil HaSeder, which means Passover night? So Chevra, which means friends, in order to address these questions, let us share some more 15s. Comes along the Ritva in his commentary on the Passover Haggadah, and he says, well, the 15 stairs in the temple and the 15 favors mentioned in the Dayenu paragraph, they correspond to a name of God. Which name of God? A name of God that we will pronounce Ka. Although I pronounced it Ka, it's not spelled Ka with a Kuf and a He. It's spelled Yud and He. I just pronounce it as Ka. That name of God, Yud He, is numerically 15. The Yud is numerically 10. The He is numerically 5. And in higher mathematics, that brings us to the number 15. And says the Ritva, we find Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi says in Tractate Menachos on 29b that Hashem used this name of His in order to create two worlds. Hashem used the Yud of His name, Ka, to create Olam Haba, that's the world above. And Hashem used the He of His name, Ka, to create Olam Hazeh, which is this world. And that's what it means when it says in Isaiah, in 26-4, Ki Beka Hashem Tzor Olamim. For with Ka, what's Ka? Yud and He. For with Ka, Yud and Hey, Hashem Tzor Olamim, Hashem fashioned the worlds in the plural, Olamim. Which two worlds? Like we said before, these words are familiar, right? Ki Beka Hashem, where do we say these words? At least weekly. Friday night, Menucha V'Simcha, Ki Beka Hashem Tzor Olamim. And that song, Menucha V'Simcha, cites this verse in Isaiah. In any case, we see from here that Hashem used this name of His to create the two worlds. And by the way, before I continue, I want to share yet another 15 right now. The Avudraham, Rabbi David Avudraham, 14th century sage from Spain, he says, you know, in addition to the 15 stairs in the temple, in addition to the 15 favors that are mentioned in the Dayenu paragraph in the Passover Haggadah, in addition to the 15 songs of ascent, there's another 15, and they are the 15 expressions that we mention after the morning recitation of Shema, you know, we recite Shema at least twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, but in both times, the Shema Yisrael is kind of sandwiched between blessings beforehand and blessings afterwards. In the morning Shema, if you look at the blessing right after the recitation of Shema, after you say the words of Shema Hashem Elokeichem Emes, then you start a new paragraph, the Yatziv. So let's go through very briefly, what are the 15 expressions right after the Shema? And as I mention these words and translate them, keep in mind, what are we doing? We're basically describing how we feel about the words of Shema that we just recited. So right after Shema, what is it? Number one, V'yatziv, and certain. Number two, V'nachon, and established. Number three, V'kayam, and enduring. Number four, V'yashar, and upright. Number five, V'ne'eman, and faithful. Number six, V'ahuv, and beloved. Number seven, V'chaviv, and cherished. Number eight, V'nechmad, and delightful. Number nine, V'naim, and pleasant. Number ten, V'nora, and awesome. Number 11, V'adir, and powerful. Number 12, Umusukan, and correct. Number 13, Umukubal, and accepted. Number 14, V'tov, and good. And finally, number 15, V'yafeh, and beautiful. So after we say the Shema, we say what we just said, it was beautiful and it was good and it's accepted and it's correct, etc., etc. And let me just point out, each one of these 15 expressions all begin with the same Hebrew letter. Did you pick up on that? Which letter was that? Yes, the letter Vav. Every single expression of the 15 start with the letter Vav. Now the letter Vav is numerically 6. But since there are 15 Vavs, that allows us to multiply 6 by 15. And when you multiply 6 by 15, what do you get? 90. You get, not very good, you get 90. And 90 just so happens to be the same numerical value as another letter in the Hebrew alphabet, known as the Tzadi. Now, some people refer to the Tzadi letter as Tzadik. I think one reason why they do that, because when you say the alphabet in order, it's Tzadi Kuf Resh. The Kuf comes after the Tzadi, and they kind of get bunched together, and it sounds like Tzadik. Okay, but there are those that still, even just mentioning the name of the letter, technically it's a Tzadi, but some refer to it as a Tzadik, and perhaps this comes to teach us that one who lives up to the expectation of 15 will then become a tzaddik. We just have to find out and explore the significance of the 15s as we proceed right now in order to understand what does it mean to live up to their expectation? What does that even mean? And we'll see as we move on how whatever it means, living up to the expectation, will automatically make us into tzaddikim or into even greater tzaddikim. So at this point, we are going to see that these 15 steps represent something in a way that's going to direct us in Avodas Hashem. We're going to learn right now the number 15 is going to help us connect to the divine service of God in a very special way. Says the Maharal, so far on the table, we have 5 sets of 15. Let's just review them. Number one, 15 favors in the Dayenu. Number two, 15 simanim, or stages of Passover night. Number three, 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. Number four, 15 songs of ascent. Number five, 15 expressions in the blessing after the recitation of the morning Kriyas Shema, the morning Shema. And as we mentioned before, this number 15, which is found in all 5 of these items, they can trace themselves back to the name of God, Ka, which is numerically 15. And the name Ka, as we said, created, Hashem used those letters to create this world and the next world. And this teaches us the following lesson already. Right now, already there is a lesson to be gleaned from this, and it goes like this. Just like by the 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, each step was higher than the one that came before it, so too are there 15 levels of spirituality in this world, each level slightly higher than the level that preceded it. How do we know there are 15 levels? Because God used his name Ka to create the world. And Ka is numerically 15, which tells us, it teaches us that there are 15 steps of spirituality, 15 steps to greatness. And we are being asked, we are being requested by Hashem to try to climb from even the lowest spiritual level until we reach the highest spiritual level. So, Chevra, at this point, I think we may have already addressed an answer to question number one. The deeper meaning, what's the deeper meaning behind the 15 favors of the Dayenu? Well, let's say it like this. Those 15 favors correspond to the 15 stairs in the Beis HaMikdash. The 15 favors, as we said, correspond to the 15 songs of ascent. And so, the 15 favors of the Dayenu are supposed to make us feel indebted to God. After all, he did these 15 amazing favors for us. Therefore, we are supposed to feel like we owe Hashem. After all, look at all the things that Hashem did for us. And the way in which we can pay God back, so to speak, would be to do what God wants. Well, what does God want? Well, Hashem is communicating with us through these 15 favors that he wants the following things. Number one, he wants us to thank him. That's number one, hakaras hatov, gratitude, which we do. Every time we recite the 15 songs of ascent, which we do every time we say or sing the Dayenu paragraph, and he also wants all of us to grow spiritually by climbing these 15 levels of spirituality represented by the 15 stairs in the Beis HaMikdash. Because when we do climb these 15 stairs, it's like going from the impurity of Mitzrayim, which again is the first favor listed, that would be the lowest level, climbing to the highest and holiest level of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the highest and 15th level mentioned in the Dayenu. And when we do this, we wind up connecting with Ka. We wind up connecting with God, whose name is Ka, which is numerically 15. But we must point out that this whole process of growth, climbing the 15 levels of spiritual success, it really all begins on Leil HaSeder. It begins on Passover night. At this point, I want to share with you, to embellish this point, a teaching from the Bnei Yisachar. In his teachings on the month of Nisan 4-3, he cites the Arizal, the great Kabbalist in the 16th century of Tzfat, from the Shar HaKavanos, and he says like this: typically, the process of spiritual growth is gradual, slowly moving from one level to the other. But on Leil HaSeder, on Passover night, Hashem lifts all of us in a most unusual way. Because, says the Arizal on Leil HaSeder, Hashem lifts us, even if we happen to be on the lowest spiritual level, Hashem lifts all of us from the lowest of the 15 to the highest of the 15 spiritual levels in one shot. This is why we sing the Dayenu paragraph on Passover night. It is because this paragraph conveys to us that on Leil HaSeder, on Passover night, we soar from even the lowest level to the highest level in just one night. Yes?
Could we say that the Siman, and that we travel that way through the night of Siman?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the Imre Noam, the Jacobari, says just that. He says that one of the ways how we achieve this climbing is by going through the 15 stages of Leil HaSeder. They help us, they assist us in climbing this spiritual staircase of success, if you will. Now, you know what this means in other words? It means, we're talking about the number 15, but we can kind of convert that if we wanted to. In other words, it means that on Passover night, we go even from the 49th level of impurity to the 49th level of holiness. In one night, we jump incredibly, says the Arizal. And this jumping on Passover, by the way, that could be why in Hebrew the holiday is called Pesach. What does Pesach even mean? So there's a Rashi in Parshas Bo in 12-11 that says one of the translations Rashi offers to, you know, be metargeim, to translate the word Pesach, is Dilug, which means jumping. So what does that mean? Okay, so in the storyline, it means that God, so to speak, jumped over the Jewish homes and, so to speak, came crashing down on the Egyptian homes and the slaying of the firstborn. That's one understanding. The Arizal says, you know what the name Pesach also teaches us? That on the night of Passover, there's a lot of dilug, a lot of jumping. We jump from, even if we happen to be anyone on the lowest of the levels, we get to jump to the highest of levels on the night of Passover, and that is a divine gift from God. Even if we didn't work on ourselves, even if we, and that's why I think Hashem arranges Passover, the halachos, the laws, in such a way that this whole thing with chametz and you have to get rid of the house and the car and the office and so much. So by the time we, well, how much time do people really have to do what we're doing right now, to spend? This is also preparing for Passover in a different way. There's cleaning and there's cooking and there's baking and there's shopping, but this is also how many people get a chance, you know, when it gets, as it gets closer and closer, people get so wrapped up in the cleaning, by the time you waltz in to Passover night, I don't know about you, but I could say sometimes I feel like a schmatte, like wrung out. I got this black stuff under my fingernails. I just want to go to sleep. Maybe that's an advantage of having a second Seder. At least I can stay up for the, you know. But somehow in Eretz Yisrael, we seem to get by because of this extra Kedusha, the extra voltage and the energy. In any case, why does it work that way? Because even if we weren't working on ourselves spiritually to achieve this level, it happens magically. On its own, Hashem, it's a divine gift from God that Hashem lifts us from whatever level, spiritual levels we are on, Hashem lifts us to the highest of levels. But then, says the Arizal, what happens? That's on the first night of Passover. By the time you get to the second night of Passover, this is really good for Eretz Yisrael, we keep one day, says the Arizal, second night of Passover, we go right back down to whatever spiritual level we were holding before Passover night. And you might be asking the question, well, so what was the point in that? What's the purpose? You go to the highest and then, well, you fall right back down. So what was the point in going to the highest if I'm right back where I started from? The answer to that question is twofold. Number one, the ice has been broken. We reached that level for a short period of time. The path has been paved. It's always easier to retrace our steps. It's always easier to walk on a path that has already been trodden. So that's advantage number one. The ice has been broken, the path has been paved. Advantage number two of soaring to these heights on Passover night is we get a chance to taste what greatness really means. Oh, you like that? Lil HaSeder, you have the fellow conducting the Seder very often. He's wearing a kittel. He's like, when's the last time we have someone wearing white clothing? Oh yeah, the high priest on Yom Kippur would enter the Holy of Holies only in big day love and the white clothing. Oh, you like that, Hashem says. You like being like a high priest going into the Holy of Holies? You like godless greatness? You like what it means to be a tzaddik? It tastes good, yeah? So now, although we go back the next night to wherever we were before, but I like what I tasted on Lil HaSeder. Now I'm hungry. Now I'm thirsty. And now I want to strive to reobtain those levels. You put these two reasons together, it is a recipe for success. Because the path has been paved, the ice has been broken, we can do it again, and we're hungry to do it again. And that's why, says the Arizal, on the second night of Passover, we come crashing down to whatever level we were holding on before the first night of Passover, there's a new mitzvah kicks in. What's that mitzvah? Sfiras ha-omer, counting the omer. Oh, and what do we count? How many days? 49 days. 49 days. Why? Because now, on the second night of Passover, Hashem says, I want you, Hashem wants all of us, to reach the 49th level of holiness again by the end of counting the Omer, but this time we're going to get there on our own. Passover night is kind of a freebie. Passover night, Hashem does it for us magically. Then Hashem says, now that you've been there and you've tasted, you like it, you're hungry, now get there on your own. And that's what we do during the Omer to the point till we get to the 50th day, which is the day of Shavuos, and we are then deserving to reaccept the Torah upon ourselves. And says the Bnei Yisrael, based on this whole approach, we'll have a way of fulfilling. There's an aspect. There are many mitzvos, Passover night. I mean, there's no night that's got as many mitzvos as Passover night. You got Doraises, Torah laws, Derabanans, rabbinic laws, you have Minhagim, all these customs. The hardest one, what would you say? What's the hardest mitzvah to fulfill? What's the hardest one? Well, this Mishnah I'm going to share with you in a moment. The Mishnah taken from Tractate Psachim. It's found on page 116b. It's chapter 10, Mishnah 5. It's also quoted in the Passover Haggadah. Listen to what it says. Bechol dor vador, in every generation, chayav adam liros es atzmo, every person has an obligation to see himself, ki'ilu hu yotza mimitzrayim, as if he, himself, or she, came out of Mitzrayim. All right, I got to ask you. Raise of hands. How many of you have been to Egypt? Okay, one person, and the rest of us who have never been there. And even if the whole room raised their hands, so what? Ozma, like they say in here. So what? You mean I've been to Egypt? Yeah, so back in 1990, whatever, yeah, I went with my family to Egypt, a little whatever, so I'm supposed to be able to see myself as coming out of Mitzrayim? Do I think for a moment I can compare myself to our ancestors of 3,300 years ago? We were never slaves for hundreds of years. We never went through their experiences. Like, which five-star hotel did you guys, you know, crash in Cairo? I mean, I'm going to compare my, oh, now I really got it. Now I know what it's like. How can we be, oh, I'm supposed to fool myself? What does it mean? I should see myself. And it's an obligation. It's a chayav. It's not something which is worthy. A good thing, it's an obligation on every single person. How can you make every single person obligated to, how can we ever achieve this level? Says Ibn Yasasar, what an incredible answer. He says that you and I, we all, can mamish, literally, reach the same spiritual levels that our ancestors reached when they came out of Mitzrayim. On their Passover night, what happened to our ancestors? They went from minus 49 to plus 49 in one night. Guess what? That repeats itself every single year. We can also go even from minus 49 to plus 49 in one night. And therefore, yes, every person can see himself as experiencing the same thing they experienced. What are we supposed to feel? We're supposed to feel how we're being taken, lifted by Hashem to the highest levels, just as they were. By the way, we just answered question number two. What was question number two? Question number two was, what is the connection between the 15 favors that Hashem did for us and Passover night? And I think one answer could be to teach us that on Passover night, Hashem lifts us to the 15 highest of levels, 15 favors, 15 steps, 15 spiritual levels. And Hashem is teaching us. You know what he wants from us? He wants us afterwards to work on those levels on our own. On the second night of Passover already, when we go back to where we were before, Hashem wants us to work on that. Now, this whole approach will really fit in so beautifully with a miraculous event which happened to the Jews in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, on the eve of Passover. Hashem did an amazing thing. This, what I'm going to share right now, is what they call in Hebrew a bumba. This is a bomb of a chidush. It's an eyebrow raiser. So now, what did Hashem do for us? Go back, our ancestors, the Jews in Egypt, on the eve of Passover. Listen to this. On the eve of Passover, Hashem took the entirety of the Jewish people and transported them from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, not just to the land of Israel, but to the holy city of Yerushalayim that we're sitting in right now, and not just to Yerushalayim. He transported the entire nation to what would be the future site of the Beis HaMikdash, of the temple. Why did God do that? Because on the eve of Passover, they were charged to do the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb. Where is the Paschal Lamb supposed to be slaughtered? At Makom HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Jews would be able to slaughter their lambs, the Paschal lambs, right there in the place, the Makom, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem only brought the Jews back to Egypt after nightfall. Why after? Why not bring them back, you know, on the eve of Passover? God waited till after nightfall, so what? To enable the Jews to then do what? To eat their kizayis, a certain measurement of flesh from the Paschal Lamb. Where are we supposed to eat the flesh of the Paschal Lamb? Right there, the site of the Beis HaMikdash. You might be wondering, Wagensburg, who says this? What does it say that? This is wild. Well, it's right there in Parshas Yisro. In the portion of Yisro in 19-4, the verse says, Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim. God says, you have seen what I did to Egypt. And here come the key words. Va'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim. God says to the Jews, you saw how I carried you on wings of eagles. Va'avi eschem eloi. And that I brought you to me. Wings of eagles. Eagles. Think of it, eagles. Any eagles going on there in the Passover story? Eagle one, eagle two. What eagles? Says Targum Yonason. Now, that's attributed to one of our Tanoic sages, Yonason ben Uziel. Targum Yonason, I want to read it to you. Says Targum Yonason. This is the Aramaic translation / commentary to the verse. What does he say? Atun chamitun madi avodas lemitzroei. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Watch what he says. Uta'anis yaschon al anonin hei kal gadfei nesharin. That I carried you on clouds of glory, just like an eagle would carry her young on her wings. When the verse says that God carried us on eagle's wings, it doesn't mean there has to be an actual eagle with actual wings. It means that just like eagles carry their young on their wings. So I, Hashem said, carried my children on my, so to speak, wings, which were the clouds of glory. And where did God carry us from? So he goes on to say, Min Pilusin, from the metropolis in Egypt, Ramses, Va'ovilis Yaschon, La'asar Beis Muktasha, and I brought you to which place? The place of the temple, Lemeva Tamon Pischa, so that you all can do there at the site of the temple, you can do your Paschal Lamb. Ubahahu Lelia. And it was that night, Osivas Yaschon Lepilusin, I returned you all back to the metropolis Ramses, Umitamon Karevis Yaschon Leulfan Oraisi. Then the next morning was the Exodus, and then you marched out of the country. We had the parting of the waters. You marched to Sinai, and that's where I gave you my Torah. According to Yonos ben Uziel, what an amazing, what a chidush, what a novel idea. What was Hashem doing? Why did Hashem do that? Says the Shvilei Pinchas beautifully. He says, what did Hashem do for our ancestors? Hashem, that night, the eve of Passover to the night of Passover, Hashem took the Jews from where? Mitzrayim. That's the first favor mentioned in the Dayenu. God took us out of Egypt. And where did God bring us to? The site of the temple. Well, that's the 15th favor mentioned in the Dayenu. That's the highest. So if God did that for our ancestors on the night of Passover, that was a precursor. Hashem was preparing the way, paving the path every single year. On the night of Passover, Hashem does the same thing. Hashem brings all of us, transports us from, even if we happen to be experiencing the impurity of Mitzrayim in our modern day, Hashem brings us to, from that level, to the highest of levels, to the Beis HaMikdash. We all get transported to the Beis HaMikdash. Or you could say it this way, as the Rebbe of Radomsk says, that every Jew becomes like a Beis HaMikdash. Every Jew becomes so holy that we have of the status, the holiness of the temple itself, and therefore I could be sitting anywhere in the world, and yet it's like we just reached the temple, each person becomes the holiness of that temple. So Chevra, at this point, we are going to share yet another 15. Says the Maharal, besides all the 15s we have on the table, there's a number 6, 15 number 6. We have 5 so far on the table. Here comes number 6. Says the Maharal, there are also 15 days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Tov, everybody. Have a good month, right? 15 days from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan, until Passover night, which is on the 15th day of Nisan. So what does that come to teach us? It comes to teach us that these 15 days, we've just begun 15 days. What are we supposed to do during these 15 days? We are supposed to be preparing ourselves 15 days to get ourselves in shape, to train ourselves, to be able to handle the most incredible journey that we're going to take on Passover night. Because on Passover night, we're going to be doing a lot of jumping. From Eve of like 0 to 100, like they say, we're going from Eve, no matter where we're holding. So in order to be able to withstand, in order to be able to balance ourselves, we need to kind of like, you know, was it the marathon or the triathlon or what I like to do every year, the Ironman? I'm just kidding. Okay, so we need to, you got to jog, you got to run, you got to cycle, you need to be prepared. Because when it actually comes, you have to be in shape. These 15 days are meant to help us prepare ourselves, spiritually speaking, so that when it comes, Liel HaSeder, and God lifts us from no matter where we are to the highest of the 15, we'll be ready in order to handle that type of elevation. I don't want to spend too much time. Okay, time is of the essence. Okay, let's just mention like this. Right, I may just have 15 minutes left. I don't even know, you know, something, or maybe 15 seconds. Okay, so... And the Jigava Rebbe, as you mentioned earlier, that the 15 stages of Leil HaSeder, they help us. That's what helps us. By going through the 15 stages, they help us lift ourselves to these 15 levels. And not only that, the Shvili Pinchas claims, when we sit around or stand around, we begin the Passover night, and we start singing Kadesh, Orchatz. You know what that is? You know what that is? Says the Shvili Pinchas, this is our Bakasha. It is our request, it's our prayer to God as we sing the song. Please, God, help, assist me, help me move, help me grow, help me taste the highest of levels on this very night. Poland. L'chaim. Oh, wow. Amazing. Wow. All right, Chevra, we have, what is it, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes left maybe. I got to jump to this Kliyakar. The Kliyakar says like this. Let's get back to the 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash. They went from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras, right, the women's courtyard to the men's courtyard. Asks the Kliyakar in Parshas Noach, why were there 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash? Why? Why 15? So he says, like, I'll tell you why 15. It's because of the following Gemara. And this is a Gemara that gets quoted like every single Sheva Brachos. Like if you don't quote this Gemara, you're not Yotze Sheva Brachos. I'm just kidding. Okay. The Gemara is found in Sota 17a. It's a teaching from Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Ish v'isha zachu. If a husband and wife are meritorious, Shechina b'neihem, the divine presence will rest between the two. Famous Rashi on that Gemara. Rashi goes on to say, oh, where do we find the divine presence resting between the two? So Rashi says, Shaharei cholak es shemo. God split his name. Which name of God did God split? The name Ka. How do you like that? God takes the name Ka, Yud and Hey, and Shichno Beinehem. Hashem caused those letters to dwell in the husband and the wife. Where do you find the letters dwelling in husband and wife? So Rashi says, God took the Yud of his name Ka and placed it in the man. Where do you see that? Because the Hebrew word for man is ish. And in the word ish, there is a yud. So the yud of ka is in the ish. And God took the hay of his name ka and placed it in the woman. Where do you see that? Because the Hebrew word for woman is isha. And there's a hay in that name. And there Hashem took the yud and the hey and put them into the ish and the isha. And when God does that or did that or does that, then there's, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's going to be shechina. There's going to be divine presence dwelling between the two. So what do we see from the Kli Yakar? We see that the name Ka, yes? You got it. You got it's Eish. Now, we see from here that the name Ka of God is a name which represents and is connected to Shekhinah, the divine presence. Which is why the Megala Amukos adds, if you take the word Shekhinah, which means divine presence, if you rearrange the letters and break them into two parts, it spells Shachan Ka. The resting of Yud and Hey. Shekhinah, what is Shekhinah? What is divine presence? It is Shachan. When God dwells, what? The Yud Hey, Ka. The Yud Hey dwells. And then again, so the Kli Yakar goes on to say, watch this. The Kli Yakar, what an amazing Kli Yakar. He says, okay, we've got 15, watch this, I'll say it slow. 15 stairs in the Beis HaMikdash from the women's, Ezras Nashim, the women's courtyard, to Ezras Yisrael, the men's courtyard. How many stairs? 15. Oh, 15, that's Ka. That's the name of God. Yud Hey is numerically 15. And that name of God really connects an Ish and an Isha, a husband and a wife. Do you know what represents the wife? That's the Ezras Nashim, the women's court represents the wife. And what represents the man? That's the Ezras Yisrael, the men's courtyard. And so we have wife and husband, women's, men's. But he goes on to say, the Ezras Nashim, the women's courtyard representing the woman, who is the woman that it represents? It represents the Jewish people, because we are considered to be the bride in this divine relationship we have with God. And the Ezras Yisrael, the men's courtyard, represents which man, so to speak? Hashem Ish Melchama. God is a man or a master of war. It represents God. God is the chasan. God is the groom in this relationship. And the 15 steps between the Ezras Nashim and the Ezras Yisrael, they are connected to the name Ka, Yud Hey, the name representing Shekhinah, divine presence, to teach us there will be divine presence resting between the Jews and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes. You got it. You got it. 100%. Shir HaShirim is a romantic love story between a man and a woman, but that representing the man, so to speak, Hashem, the women, so to speak, the Jewish people, and that is exactly why we read it, if those can stay up, and they read Shir, and then Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, we actually, according to the Ramah, Minhag Ashkenaz, we actually read from a parchment, if we have, we read from Song of Songs to represent this beautiful love that's going on between Hashem and the Jewish people. Let's see if I have here. Okay, I think I have until 5 after. It's like 1 after the hour. 4 more minutes. 4 more. We're good to go. 4 more. I got to end with this because you're going to love it. Bezrat Hashem. Here we go. All this connects, Chevra. Everything we just said today connects with and is because of the righteous women of Israel. The Gemara says in Sota on 11b, Rav Avira says, "Bischar nashim tzitkanios shehayu ba'osador." It was in the merit of the righteous women who were alive in that generation. Nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. That's why the Jews were redeemed from Egypt. And the Gemara goes on. I won't read. I'll just say briefly: the men, Jewish men, came home after a very hard day in the field, being clubbed and whipped, and they were spent, and they collapsed on the fields. And so their wives, they went to the body of water and they took their buckets and they filled up the buckets with water. Hashem caused little fish to gather. So the bucket had half fish, half water. The women went home and they poured the water to one pot and the fish into the other pot, and they heated it up and they walked out to the fields and they knelt next to their husbands and they started to take from the water, warm water, and they were washing the dirt off of their husbands. And then they started tending to the wounds, maybe some of the fish juice to smear on the wounds. And then they began to give their husbands some nice good fish and then some water. And as they were doing that, so it aroused the husbands. They were together. And when the women were impregnated, then it says they went home. So what does that mean to say? So the Shiri Pinchas says, the righteousness of the Jewish women, there's another midrash that says, you know what merit the Jewish people had? as to why we deserved, so to speak, to come out to be liberated from Egypt, you don't find any cases of assimilation in Egypt. We don't find Jewish men going off with Egyptian women. So how did that happen? So says the Shvili Pinchas, I'll tell you how it happened. Because the Jewish women saw to it to keep their husbands' attention on them so that they would not be distracted by any other women out there. And therefore, if you tell me that the men did not commit the crime of immorality, but who were the ones that strengthened the men to prevent immorality? It was the women. So therefore, that's what it means in the merits of the righteous women, that generation, we were redeemed. Now watch this. This will help us understand why in Parshas Pinchas, when we name all the Jewish families, we still have 2 minutes, all the Jewish families, right? What now? The names of the families, Reuven, Chanoch, Palu, they're not mentioned like that. They're named Reuveni, Hachanochi, Hapalui. What are these strange names? So Rashi cites the Midrash and says, God took his name, Ka. Here we go again. And God put the name Ka and surrounded each Jewish family, a hey at the beginning and a yud at the end. So Reuven became HaReuveni, hey at the beginning, yud at the end, the name Ka, to testify when these Jews trace their ancestry, that we have we have lineage on the fathers. They go after the Shvatim. The nations of the world said, you got to be kidding. What are you boasting? You come from Reuven? You come from Yaakov? If the Egyptians had power over you, they certainly had power over your women. So maybe your father and they were Egyptians. So Hashem took his own name and surrounded each family to testify. These Jews are solid. They can trace their ancestry. There's no bad Egyptian blood mixed in. That's why the verses in Psalms, Shiftei Ka Eidot Li Yisrael. The tribes of Israel get testified by the name of Ka. So I'll end with this one question, a very brief answer, that's it. The question is, why did God put the letter He at the beginning of each family and the Yud at the end? Isn't the name Ka Yud first and He second? So instead of calling the name HaReuveni, maybe it should be called Yaruvina. I just switch it around. Why does it have to be backwards? Says the Maskil of David. You want to know why God switched it around? Because the He from the name Ka is found in Isha, woman. The Yud of Ka is found in Ish. Who were the ones responsible giving us the merit to be redeemed? The women. We give them credit. They go first. The hay before the yod, HaReuveni, it was all because of the righteous women. And then, last vart, Shvili Pinchas ends off, in all the 15 stages of Leil HaSeder, 15, you can split them 5 and 10. The first 5 signs or stages connect with the first 2 cups of wine, Kadesh, and then Magid, that's the first 2 cups. And the other 10 stages are connected to the last 2 cups of wine. So if you look at it that way, what just happened? What just happened? We have 5 stages, then 10 stages. 5 is numerically He. 10 is numerically Yud. Why is it 5 before 10? Why not 10 before 5 again? Hey belongs to Isha, Yud belongs to Ish, and we put the women first because it was them that we credit with the entire Yetziah of Mitzrayim. So it means of a practical application, Chevra, may I suggest that Passover night, we sit around the table and we say, before Kadesh Orchatz, just say, everyone, before we sing, let's just remind ourselves these 15 stages are going to lift us to the 15th level. Let's just remember it's a prayer to God that Hashem should assist us in reaching the highest of levels. May we all be zoche, may we all merit to reach those highest of levels and be zoche to have in the month of Nisan, the coming of Mashiach, building the Beis HaMikdash, to hear the Levites once again singing their songs on the 15 stairs of the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you.